For me, I always prefer the sign. Amen. That encourages me in my feelings and encourages me in my emotions. But I don't always get a sign. And when I get anxious, it drives me to Jesus. Hallelujah. And, you know, when I was a young Christian, I was intrigued with Matthew 6:6. Might as well put it up on the screen for a sec there. And it says, "By you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly." And don't you love those early days when you're thinking about verses like this? Secret place. There's secret compartments. And is there hidden places? And you know, little by little, the Lord begins to show us where the secret place is. It's a place of prayer. And you know, I'm so thankful God has shown me where the secret place is. And we're going to talk about that probably for the rest of the meeting. The secret place. And you know, I want to tell you what happens to me after I've been in the secret place. All the giants in my life begin to shrink down. Yeah, as I get my eyes on Jesus, all the giants begin to shrink. The things that are tormenting me and causing me anxiety and stress, they lose their power to torment me. Hallelujah. And you know, it's like Isaiah said, that he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. It happens every time I spend time with the Lord and I begin to sprout wings, just like he said. Not real ones, but he lifts me by his spirit above the things that are plaguing me, above the giants that want to trample me, above the things that want to torment me, the anxiety and the stress. And so I'm so thankful for that. Over in Proverbs 29:18, I like the King James Version better, but we'll make do with this. "Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." Where there's no revelation, where there's no vision of God, where there's no time in his presence, it's easy for us to stumble. It's easy for us to fall. And it's easy for us to allow. You ever allow your imagination runs wild? I get caught up, and now I'm praying, and then all of a sudden, if the devil says this, then I'm going to say that. And if he moves this way, I'm going to move that way. And then the Lord says, "Are we praying or what?" And oh, yeah, I'm sitting there daydreaming, and I get caught up in my anxious thoughts and allow them to move me this way and that way instead of focusing on the Lord. But it's true. There's a place, hallelujah, where we can meet with God. It's a secret place. Hallelujah. And over in Acts 4:13, what does it say? Let's just read it up there. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. A notable miracle had just happened in Acts 4. A lame man from birth was healed, and it was causing a big stir. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders came to them and were giving them a hard time. And the boldness of Peter, I couldn't get over it. Peter says, "We didn't heal this guy. Jesus Christ did. The guy who you killed, he's become the chief cornerstone." And what a bold thing to say to these leaders. And but as we see in this verse, you can leave it up there for a second. Hallelujah. That as Luke's writing this, it says, "Now the boldness of Peter and John." And that as you read it, I was wondering why Luke added that they were uneducated and untrained. Thanks a lot, Luke. If you're going to write something about me, write something nice. And so I say to myself, well, why would Luke want to write these things about his friends? And it's because he wanted the world to know that this power didn't come from their education. This power didn't come from their training. This power came from a private devotion that they had with Jesus Christ. came from behind the scenes. Amen. That's why a private devotion with Jesus. And they recognized these men had been with the Lord, and a notable miracle had just taken place, and it was because of not what they knew, it was because of who they knew. Amen. And it works the same for all of us. I can see you're all getting excited now by the expressions on your face. I'll try harder. Praise God. And so Ian Bounds said this, real sermon is made in the closet. Real sermons are made in the secret place. And when you find men and women of prayer, you know that their greatest convictions are birthed and in private communion with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Born in secret communion with God is our greatest convictions. You know, the weightiest sermons you're ever going to get, or the sweetest, and they're going to come from spending time in a secret place with the Lord. That's where they flow from. And he went on to say, men and women are made in the closet, not the closet that people come out of, but the secret place. That's where men and women are made, in the presence of God. That's where the things of God are added to us. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it's an awesome thing to learn how to pray. And you know, you don't need a title to get dialed into God's network. You don't need a title at all. Praise God. And if you think you do, I'll give you one right now. You're an ambassador for Durhamville Gospel Church and for Jesus Christ. There, you got a title. Amen. But that's not what qualifies you. And to be dialed into the presence of God, to get dialed into what God has for us. Amen. And let's read one verse. Hallelujah. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Amen. And so a virgin would give birth to a child. He had no earth dad, and he was born from a virgin. And I want to tell you that Jesus came really from outside of this world. Amen. He came from glory. He came from outside of the world. And I don't know how much of the Holy Ghost Jesus had before he was baptized, but I know he got more when the dove came down on him from heaven and increased whatever he had even more. But this was a, let's look at Jesus just for a minute. And he didn't come from this world. He came from outside of the world. And what I'm trying to say, he didn't evolve out of our history. Amen. And but he came into our history from the outside. Jesus just isn't the best human being that there ever was. He is a being that was different from every other being on planet Earth. He is one of a kind. He is a being that really can't be accounted for here on planet Earth. Or I can say it this way, he was birthed by the will of God, not by the will of man. Hallelujah. That might make it a little easier. And he was God incarnate. He was God with us, Emmanuel. Now, you know Jesus is the first one off the assembly line, right? He's the firstborn among many brethren. And we see that he is the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. What else can I say about him? And the life that came into him came in the form of a dove from heaven, came from the outside and came inside. Hallelujah, of Jesus. He can't be accounted for as far as the human race goes, or he was brought forth by the will of God. He's God incarnate. And if you don't know what the word incarnate means, it's a deity or a spirit embodied in flesh. Amen? Dictionary tells us incarnate is the embodiment of deity, the embodiment of the Spirit of God. That's who Jesus was. Hallelujah. And that was before he was raised from the dead. Praise God. And he was God in human form. That's who Jesus was. God in human form. And he came from the outside. And so what I'm trying to say is the highest life form in the universe, the highest, the holiest life form, bowed down to the lowest door, human flesh, and he came in through that lowliest door. Praise God. Amen. And man and women are born again because God did that. The Lord's birth was an advent, and you might have to look up what the word advent means. It means a notable person arriving. And it was an advent. It was a notable person arriving. Jesus was one of a kind. And...